Hour number three, Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. As we make our way together tonight up until 2 o'clock in the morning, there's still time and room for you guys, 617-779-7937. Eventually, we will get into some Celtics discussion. Look, the Celtics, like it or not, I do call this a big game, quote-unquote, coming up later on tonight against the Knicks. There's a revenge factor there. The Knicks embarrassed the Celtics a couple weeks back, and the Celtics now are playing good basketball. I would love to see the Celtics actually handle the Knicks the way they should and sort of prove to the Knicks that what happened last time was a fluke and that the Celtics are a force to be reckoned with. We'll see if that happens or not, because as excited as I am as a Celtics fan that Jaylen Brown is back, and I should be excited, let's not forget all of the enthusiasm and optimism surrounding Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum at the end of last season going into this season, right? There was talk about those two guys taking the next step in their progression to being an all-star this year. But that hasn't happened for Jaylen Brown especially. So we'll get into this in the 1 o'clock hour, talking about Jaylen Brown, how he fits in with this team, and is his comeback now something that could potentially hurt this team? Because they started to play a lot closer, a lot more similar to the team that we expected them to be when Jaylen Brown got hurt and Marcus Smart got inserted into the starting lineup. So coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll talk about Jaylen Brown and the Celtics in this upcoming Knicks game and what it all means for this team as they continue to work on becoming a cohesive unit and continue to begin to resemble the team that we hoped and the team that we thought that they could be. Until then, we'll continue with your phone calls on our sports and politics discussion here at 617-779-7937. As the Red Sox, they officially accept the invitation from President Trump to visit the White House. They haven't set a date yet. There's talk about it happening sometime in spring training next year, where the Red Sox have got an off day. They'll go to D.C. But I feel that it's important to mention that Sam Kennedy did come right out and say that it is not mandatory for the players to go. And I'll be very curious to see which players go and which players opt out. And again, this discussion, this happened on Monday night that Sam Kennedy announced this. And since then, once again, the discussion got ugly. And whether it got ugly on the radio, whether it got ugly on TV, whether it got ugly on social media, I feel like all three of those places, it got ugly. And it shouldn't be, because Red Sox fans should be, it's called Red Sox Nation for a reason, right? Everybody should still be flying pretty high from the World Series win. But instead, this immediately spoiled it for 50% of the fan base. And with the talk this week with NFL players going down and potential openings for a quarterback and Cap not getting a call, the discussion came up again about Colin Kaepernick and the national anthem. And I hate that discussion because I feel like we've exhausted it completely, but I feel like the two go hand in hand. And I feel like we've proven over and over and over again that sports and politics in today's climate and today's culture, they don't play well with one another. So why do we continue to force politics down the throats of sports fans? Why can't we simply separate the two? Look, as a sports fan, I enjoy politics because there's a lot of the same sort of rivalry type situations in sports and politics, and those are fun for me, right? And when you go back to the Clinton-Trump election from a couple of years ago, if you actually go back and you pay attention to debate nights, following the debates on Fox News, I found it interesting. They used to call the post-debate show the post-game show. And that, for me, really hammered home that point, that sports and politics appeal to the same sort of demographic, the same groups of people. And people that enjoy heated rivalries in sports will enjoy heated rivalries in politics. But that doesn't mean that the two have to intersect every single night. But they do with the national anthem. It doesn't mean that every time a team wins a championship, they have to go to the White House. But they do, because that's what we've always done. See, these things don't make a lot of sense to me, and I feel like the easiest way to stop the intersection of sports and politics is simply say to ourselves, you know what, as a society, the political climate is way too hot right now. People are literally killing each other over political views. It makes no sense to me. So let's just remove the politics from the sports, because as a society as a whole, and I'm not necessarily pointing at you, okay? So don't take it personally if you're not in this group. But as a whole, the majority of us have proven that we are unable, we are not mature enough to handle this discussion. So why do we continue to force the discussion down our throats? Let's simply remove the anthem from the pregame of all these professional sporting events. Remove it. Okay, say enough. Goodbye. Sayonara. We'll do it maybe during the playoffs. We'll do it for high school kids, college kids. Save it for the NBA Finals. But no reason to do it 162 times a year in Major League Baseball or 82 times a year in hockey and basketball. No reason. So just do away with it because we apparently can't handle it. And you know what? While we're going down that road, let's simply stop inviting these winners to the White House because that's becoming ugly as well with teams opting out. Teams sort of jabbing at the president jabbing back. It's ugly, and it's not what it was supposed to be. But we know what the Warriors went through. We know what the Eagles went through getting disinvited. And now the Red Sox, they accept the invitation, and half of their fan base is pissed off. So why do we put ourselves in that position to begin with? 617-779-7937. That is the number to join us here. Let's get back out to the phones. Let's go to Chuck. Chuck's in Albany. Chuck, you're next up here on WEEI.
Hey, how are you? Driving through the Berkshires. I'm a 3%er in that I went to Beirut when I was 19 and went with 125 there out of Boston to Kuwait when I was 26. So never had anybody directly shooting at me. And, you know, people say, well, you know, did you kill anybody? And I'll say, well, yeah, I was a cook, so I must have, but I really wasn't a cook.
But thank you for your service, Chuck.
Oh, I was going to say, please don't thank me for my service. The circus wouldn't take me, so I had to have someplace to go. All that being said, why doesn't your side just give up? Why don't we just say, hey, you know, for Christmas, let's go abortion-free in Boston, okay? Let's not have an abortion for a month, okay? How about we save
Chuck, hold on. When you say, why doesn't my side just give up, what are you saying, my side? What does that mean to you?
Well, you said you were a Democrat.
I am. And here's what's interesting, okay. Right? So here's, and again, I'm a Christian Democrat, and I'm married to a Southern Republican. I hate abortion. I am 1,000% against abortion. Here's my problem. It's economically, financially, I side with the left, right? But when it comes to family values and morals, I side with the right. My problem with that is that for so many years, I listened to the right lecture me about abortion and about family values and about morals. And then we put, quite possibly, Satan is in the White House right now. And the right suddenly doesn't care about family values and abortion and all of the things that I heard about over the course of my lifetime. So what is it, Chuck?
Well, wait a minute. Wait. Okay. So we put Satan in the White House. Can we both agree that if Bernie didn't get cheated out of his run for the White House, that Bernie would be sleeping at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Because the only reason why that thing was close, okay, and I'm a registered conservative, the only reason why that whole thing was close, because you got two of the biggest idiots running against each other. Bernie Sanders, who I would be against, he would have whooped Donald Trump's butt like you wouldn't believe.
And so, I would like to believe that, Chuck, but you know, let's go back to the previous elections, going all the way back to 2000 when it was W versus Gore. Okay, that thing came down to a couple of Chads in Florida. And ever since then, they've been pretty much split. There hasn't been somebody that's really run away with an election. And I feel like I don't see a time or I don't see a candidate on the horizon that's going to be able to come in and really get that sort of separation and get the majority of the country behind that person to support that person. And I feel like because we're all so tied to, and I don't think you meant to say it this way, but when you said to me, you know, your side, I feel like that's sort of our go-to. And it's all about what side, quote unquote, we represent, rather than taking the best of the right and the best of the left and actually creating good policy from the best of the right and the best of the left. We're so unwilling to listen to the other side that you'll never get that ever again. That's my fear here, Chuck, is that, you know, your side and my side, quote unquote, will never be able to come together ever again and get your good ideas and my good ideas and put them down on paper. And that's what's good for the country. That's why we have the two-party system, and we don't use it that way any longer.
Okay, well, I've listened to everything you've said, but I guess I'd say, you know, you described yourself as a Democrat. So so did you vote for Hillary?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so I voted for Trump, I live in New York State. It does, my vote doesn't matter because electoral votes are winner take all, you know, not by a percentage. So it really doesn't even matter if I show up. So it was really more of a protest vote than anything.
Sure.
Because Democrats carry New York State. But I guess, you know, were you okay? So Tom Yawkey was a segregationist. Okay. He was a product of his time. Okay. Were you for changing Yawkey Way over to whatever it is now,
nope.
Whatever the street name is?
No, I think that's a meaningless move that the Red Sox did to get good PR.
Okay. I agree with that. Now, let me ask you this. The Black Lives Matter movement, you know, my daughter one time told me that I was a racist because I told her to turn rap music off. And I said, okay, if I'm such a racist, I said, could you name four guys of African-American descent that you would jump on a hand grenade for? Tell me four guys you'd give your life for, okay, that any time in your life that you had that relationship with somebody of a different geography, of a different race. I mean, I'm half Chinese and half German, okay? So I don't identify with any group, okay? But you know, my daughter calls me a racist, and I said, look, you don't even know me. But you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, why is it the most dangerous place for a black child these days is in his mother's womb? That's where the highest percentage of black kids are being killed. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't see. This is what I don't want to get into, because there's funny ways to look at these numbers, because per capita, that's not true. It's just not. But I know where you're getting your number from. And you know, Black Lives Matter when it comes to, you know, police and killing black people and killing white people. Yeah. Do police kill more white people than black people? They sure as hell do. But, you know, per capita, when it comes to percentage based conversations, that, you know, you can look at it the other way, where a higher percentage of African Americans is in danger of being shot by police than percentage of white Americans. And I feel like that's also part of the culture we have now, where you can take these numbers and you can skew them any way that you want to best fit the argument of the side that you're on. But do I think Black Life Matters was important? I do. I felt like it was an important movement that wasn't executed the right way. I feel like Colin Kaepernick, by taking the knee when he took the knee, that could have been so much more impactful, so much more meaningful if they had chosen somebody to represent that movement that was able and eloquent enough to get in front of a microphone, in front of a camera, and deliver sort of the words that the country needed to hear at that time to make us understand what they were doing and why they were doing it. Unfortunately, they didn't do that until it was too late, and Kaepernick was never the right guy. He was never eloquent enough. He was never well-spoken enough to be the guy to deliver that message in a meaningful and impactful way. And because of that, President Trump took the opportunity and took the bull by the horn, so to speak, and was able to twist it into something that it was never meant to be. And the Black Lives Matter people never put the right person up to combat President Trump, and it spiraled out of control.
Well, all politicians are showmen, but let me just ask you about the travesty that was, or the load of crap that just was the McCain funeral, okay? John McCain, war hero, undoubtedly, okay? Aisle crosser. Uncontested aisle crosser. Okay. America, if as many Americans loved him when he passed away as when he ran for office, he would have been the president. Okay. So people are disingenuous in their argument, you know, that way too. Okay. You know, he was not this person that was loved by everybody. Okay. He was used by people. Okay. And he was lionized when he passed away. Okay, but, you know, people didn't vote for him. If, you know, where was that love when he ran for office?
Again, Chuck, it's a good point, and that's the country, unfortunately, that we live in. And I let you go for 8 minutes. Really good call there, Chuck. Call the show anytime. It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. We can go line by line by line about how fraudulent, you know, politicians are. And you know, that was just an opportunity for showmen to be showmen, McCain's funeral. And we saw it again today, quite frankly, with George Bush's funeral. You know, you had politicians there that never had a kind word to say about George Bush, and suddenly they're faking tears in a church because they know it's going to be on camera. It's all an act, and I don't need that act to intersect with sports. I enjoy sports. My life is hard. I work 80 hours a week. I'm not complaining, but it's hard. I work 80 hours a week, and in my free time, the little tiny, tiny, minuscule bit of free time that I have, I cart my dad back and forth to radiation and chemo Tonight, I'm going to go home and get 2.5 hours of sleep and get my dad to radiation at 7 a.m. And then I'm going to get him to a bone scan at 9 o'clock. Then I'm going to go to work. And then I'm going to leave work and have dinner with my family and come here and do it all over again because I love what I do. Okay? But that doesn't mean that when I actually have the time to enjoy sports, it means that I don't want it to intersect with politics any longer. Politics is taking the fun out of so many aspects of my life, and now it's coming for the fun in sports. And I have a problem with that. But it is sports radio. WEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's go to John. John's in Northampton. John, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, I just wanted to say I'm very sorry for you having to go through that with your father. I hope everything gets better and as well as it can.
I appreciate that, John.
And I don't think any of us have a side. I think that we all want the nation to be better and as good as it as well as it can be. So what I would say is that the left, what's all telling us how we needed to be the bigger people and we needed to, you know, just accept whatever it was going to be and that they were going to, that the right was going to be the smaller people when Trump lost and then they lost and suddenly dissent is patriotic and, oh, we need a return to decency. Maybe we've had a return to decency now. And then they also want to say, well, who's brought this into politics, into the sports? Apparently it was the people that are protesting the national anthem at an inappropriate time. I'm also a veteran, September of 89 to October of 92 on the USS Theodore Roosevelt.
And thank you for your service, John.
Gulf War.
Thank you.
I was in for 7 days and 6.5 months. And I didn't shoot any boats, and I didn't kill anybody, and I wasn't a cook, and I don't even know. I never even shot a gun. But, they're firing people for going to the right rally. Well, that's the same thing as Colin Kaepernick protesting and not getting a job. Those people are getting fired just because they went to something. They didn't participate in any of the bad things. There's no allegations that they did. The right can't accept, can't accept any of the other politics. I mean, I hear Linda Sarsour speaking on politics on college campuses. Nobody's protesting Michelle Obama, was the Antifa of the right that's taking out all these speakers. Or Barack Obama.
But John, doesn't the way that the message is delivered and the person delivering the message matter? I mean, you were in the military and you know what it's like to be maybe inspired by, you know, your leaders and people that you looked up to in the military. And to me, whether you agree or disagree with Donald Trump's policies, the way that he delivers his message, it doesn't work because he's alienating 50% of the country at all times. And he's comfortable doing so. And it's like he wants to get the little jab and get the last laugh. And while that might work for his base, it's disgusting to me when it crosses into sports because there's no reason for it.
So the left always says that every single Republican, including McCain, he was a racist and was going to bring back slavery. They say that about all of them. They said that about Bush. And I served under George W.
Can we not, though, John? Because
a good Republican is a dead Republican. Then suddenly he's a saint. They're all good.
But, John, you know that we can play this game, and I don't want to, because I can go back to you and say, you know what, every Republican put the fear of God into the American public, saying that, you know, the Democrats are going to come for your guns. I can't tell you how many times I read a story that Barack Obama was going to go door to door to take your guns, and then he was going to declare himself king and never leave office. I mean, that's the kind of crazy that's gotten involved in politics today. It's no longer fact-based, it's all fantasy-based, and it's all fear-mongering, and I don't want it sort of dripping into my sports. I don't.
Who brought it in there? Who was protesting? They were protesting at an inappropriate time for the national anthem. Why does Reamer have a job? He said that stuff about Brady's kid, and he's always talking trash about the right. But yet, now Kurt doesn't have a job, and I haven't listened to that show since Reamer started going on there. I can't listen anymore, and I never listen anymore. Your show and Ben Maller, I don't even know if he's still on. I haven't heard him for so long, are the only ones I can't even listen to anymore.
I appreciate that, John, and I try to separate myself a little bit. Just because I share in a political affiliation with Tomasi and Reamer doesn't mean that I'm as closed-minded as they are. You know what I mean? I want to have the discussion. And again, I want to make this country better, and I feel like the only way to do that, John, is by finally putting egos to the side and taking the best from the right and the best from the left.
It's possible for Reamer and Trini and Tomasi and them to all say their stuff, and then now Kirk doesn't have a job. How's that? That's
fair. Well, I don't think Kirk lost his job because of his political leanings. And John, I'm up against it. I appreciate the phone call. Call anytime. I appreciate the kind words and I appreciate you listening. But I don't want you to think that, you know, Kirk. And by the way, he didn't lose his job. He's still getting checks from Entercom and he's still going to be employed and he's still going to be in the building. and he's still going to be putting on an entertaining radio program. Matter of fact, he's going to be dropping a new podcast, Enough About Me, very, very soon. So it's not like Kirk got fired. Kirk just got reassigned. And I feel like that's something that we've got to make clear here, because I continue to see references to Kirk being quote-unquote fired on Twitter, and I continue to take phone calls from people implying that Kirk got fired. He didn't. He got reassigned within the organization. He's still getting paid very handsome money, and he's still going to be out there entertaining the masses, doing, you know, Kirk Minahan things. And he didn't put himself in that position, by the way, because of his political leanings. It goes much, much deeper than that. And if you have any more questions about why Kirk is where he is, tweet at him. He's out there on Twitter, at Kirk Min. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. When we come back, there is finally a couple of lines open for you guys as we continue and eventually wrap up our political discussion here, sports and politics and the intersection of the two. How do we stop the intersection of the two so I can get back to enjoying sports and doing away with the political discourse in this country? I'm just about done with it. 617-779-7937. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It is Late Night here. Number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And, you know, it's been a very interesting, in my opinion, first 2.5 hours or so of the program. And you know, when I introduced the topic tonight, I had a feeling that it was going to hit, but I didn't know how well it was going to hit. But I should have known. I really should have known, because quite frankly, you know, this is sort of making my point for me. And we've got callers and people that have texted in and tweeted in from A, all over the world, and B, all different walks of life, from military veterans to righties to lefties and everybody in between, young and old. And that's because everybody's got an opinion on this thing. And it's that opinion that people have that I want to embrace, because I want to embrace debate. I want to embrace, you know, discussion. And I feel like that's what has been missing in this country for the last 15, 20 years now. We no longer embrace an opposing point of view. We no longer embrace getting the best from both sides. We don't want to do that anymore. Everybody's too busy with their one-upsmanship and really just saying that I'm the best, I'm the smartest, and you know what, you can go to hell. And unfortunately, that mentality has poisoned the well here in this country, and now it has trickled down into sports, and I hate that. I hate the idea that, you know, Tom Brady got ridiculed and criticized because he put a Trump hat in his locker 3 years ago, whatever it was. And we took so many phone calls here in EEI from people on the left just pissed off at Tom Brady because Brady had a friendship with President Trump. Really, people for the first time in forever said negative things about Tom Brady because he expressed, some care for President Trump. And to me, that sucked, because whether you're a righty or a lefty, a Democrat or a Republican, that's Tom Brady. He's entitled to his opinion, right? So why bother doing this any longer? Why bother continuing to intersect the two? Why bother continuing to send the winners of these world championships, be it, you know, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, why bother sending them to the White House when all that's going to do is inevitably piss off 50% of your fan base? It's going to, the team is going to be split down the middle politically. You know, some players are going to want to go, some players aren't going to want to go. The Red Sox just won the World Series. They should be immune from taking heat, at least in the short term. But we haven't even got to the discussion on whether they're going to, you know, really give Nathan Eovaldi $17 million a year for the next 4 years, and how that could potentially cripple them financially to the point where they can't extend Chris Sale. That should be the first time that the Red Sox encounter any sort of negative press this offseason, when they ultimately decide to make that decision or not to make that decision. But instead, the first bit of negative press they got this offseason had to do with President Trump, had to do with going to the White House. That makes no sense to me. If going to the White House is no longer celebrated unilaterally by these teams as just a really cool thing to do, an honor for them to take part in, if it's no longer considered that by these players, then why are we forcing it down their throats? If it's something that, you know, 50% of the team says to hell with it, then why bother? It's not fun for the media covering it. It's not fun for the fans to have to listen to day upon day upon day upon day of rhetoric on sports radio, trying to justify the positions of these teams and justify the positions of their players and justify the positions of whoever is sitting in the White House at any given time when their team wins a championship. So why bother? Why bother going through the exercise that we went through with the Warriors or the exercise that we went through with the Eagles? Will they go? Won't they go? Will the players want to go? Like, really? You know, then Obama, you know, there was talk of Obama inviting them to their house for a barbecue. It never happened, but there was talk of it. Like, really? I mean, that's just going to further the divide in this country. So let's just keep the politics away from the sports. And unfortunately, I feel like we've gotten to this point because it all started with the national anthem. And it started with our inability to, A, just completely honor the national anthem, and B, our inability to understand the reason why Colin Kaepernick and a few others decided to use that moment to get their point across. And I don't think, and this is my personal opinion, I don't think what they were doing was dishonorable to or insulting to the flag or to the men and women that have served this country so bravely. I don't. Now, we just heard from a veteran that was insulted by it, and I am not going to tell him because it's not my position to tell him that he's wrong. That's why I listened, I empathized, and I move on. And maybe if I hear from enough people like that, I will change my point of view. But my point of view is simply this, and I've heard this from many, many other veterans that have called into the station every single time we've had this discussion. The reason why these servicemen and women, these people that are much braver than I am, fought for this country and fought for our rights is so we can exercise those rights. And one of them is a right to protest. Another is a right to free speech. So these are the same rights that they fought to give us that Colin Kaepernick and company were exercising. So isn't it hypocritical of us to get on Kaepernick and company for taking that particular time, choosing that time to exercise those rights, when that time to exercise those rights is exactly what these brave servicemen and women were fighting for to begin with, right? And we can go back and forth and round in this discussion, but we're not going to get anywhere. So let's just remove the discussion or the possibility of the discussion from sports altogether, because I want to sit down and enjoy my sporting events without politics continuing to work their way in and poison them, because it's not fun for me anymore, right? Sports is something that again, you know, we'll go through it. My schedule is much like all of yours, where we're all worked to the bone to make ends meet. We are all overworked, underpaid, and stressed out to the max. Every moment of my day is programmed 7 days a week. I've got to be somewhere serving someone else to better my family. And that's okay. But when I get 2 or 3 hours occasionally to sit down and watch a game from start to finish, man, I don't want to have to talk about sports. I don't want to have to talk about politics. I don't want politics, you know, poisoning that discussion or ruining that experience for me that is supposed to be the only time that I get to decompress a little bit and just to watch the Celtics or watch the Patriots. You know, but now I got to think about the Red Sox. I got to think about the Red Sox going to the White House. I didn't want to do this tonight. I wanted to talk to you guys about Nathan Eovaldi and the catch-22 that the Red Sox find themselves in with him. Because on one hand, Eovaldi had such a great October. Without Nathan Eovaldi being borderline heroic, I'm not sure the Red Sox are World Series champions. So he has earned his opportunity to make this money. But I also feel like it's very short-sighted of the Red Sox to overpay him right now, full well knowing you've got major financial decisions to make. That's the discussion I wanted to have tonight, and I wanted to put it out to you guys, and maybe we'll do it in the 1 o'clock hour, where if you've got to choose, because I feel like this is the choice that the Red Sox are ultimately making here. If the Red Sox give Nathan Eovaldi 4 years at $17 million a year, in my opinion, the writing is on the wall, and they made the choice right then and there that after next season, they are not spending the money, and they are not extending Chris Sale. Is that the right thing to do? Is that something that you guys would be on board with as Red Sox fans? Are you okay with this team not extending Chris Sale? Because if Eovaldi gets overpaid, I don't think they're going to have the money to pay Chris Sale. Or are they making the right call because Chris Sale breaks down every year and has been dealing with these injuries the back half of these seasons? So we'll get into that in the 1 o'clock hour. It's unfortunate. I wanted to spend many hours on that tonight because I think it's a huge, huge decision that is on the immediate horizon for the Boston Red Sox. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's grab another call here. Let's go to Matt. Matt's in Rhode Island. Matt, you're next up here on late night.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call. I'm a combat veteran, served 10 years. I honorably love my country, and I actually joined up just because of the luxury that we're afforded, and I felt like I honestly just needed to do my part, and that's the God's honest truth. I felt like I needed to do my part because men before me did a job that was much tougher than what we have to do today, and I'm not knocking anybody in the military because I know the sacrifice. And that being said, I urge people to contest the government whenever possible, make sure they stand up on their own, and express their rights. I have no problem with Colin Kaepernick when he first started to kneel, but then when other people started to kneel and the message was being miscued, and little kids like Malcolm Mitchell started having peewees kneeling, and that really just started irritating me. It's to the point where, you know, they're not doing anything with their message. They had all off season, multiple off seasons now to do what they can, and the NFL not coming in and having a say in the matter only makes it more foolish, to the point where it's, do I believe that they're disgracing our national anthem? 100% they are. Absolutely, because they're not doing anything about it. And they have plenty of different stages that they could exercise their right to protest what they feel is a very, I believe, we've always had injustice. But let's not talk about what's going on. Let's talk about where we've come from. I cannot stand how people continue to talk about the injustice that we still have in these days when we can't talk about where we've come from. This country is beautiful. It always has been. We'll always have problems. We can discuss our problems and we can have a great conversation about them, but we don't have to kneel while we're honoring our country, because that is the only time where, and I don't want it to be taken away from sporting events. Does it need to be there? I'm not sure it does, but I think when we get an opportunity to honor our country and where we've come from, I do think that they're tarnishing that. And it does hurt. It really did hurt me when I see my own Patriots nail, and I just thought that maybe the Patriots wouldn't join in. I thought Belichick, being military rooted, wouldn't stand for that.
You said that it hurt you, right? And you're a Patriots fan, and it hurt you personally when you saw that. So in a perfect world, knowing, if you didn't know that those Patriots players felt that way, if you weren't given that opportunity to see it, then you wouldn't have been hurt to begin with, and you could have just enjoyed the Patriots for what they are. I'm sure you work your ass off. I'm sure you're overworked and underpaid like the rest of us, and I'm sure when you have the opportunity to sit down for 3 hours on a Sunday and watch a Patriots game, that's your time to maybe decompress a little bit before, you know, heading into
Absolutely.
The next week. So if
Absolutely.
You why bother putting that in front of you when it's only going to hurt you to begin with?
Well, honestly, when they nailed, it wasn't like I didn't think, you know, we always knew, you know, who's going to nail before and after. When the Patriots nailed, when they did, I didn't see it coming. And of course, it is different when your team does it. But like I said, I thought Belichick, with a Navy background and the military background, maybe he would have them boys a little bit more disciplined. And I do think that the lack of leadership on the Patriots was the purpose for that. I do believe there's been a lack of leadership. And Devin McCourty is a big time. He took the contract. I felt like he would have settled into that role after Vince Wilfork left. But I think what we're seeing is a lack of leadership on that defense. And I'm not saying that what they did was a lack of leadership, because I think it takes guts to take a stand of any form.
Listen, Matt, you make a lot of great points, and I appreciate the service, and I appreciate the phone call. And don't be a stranger to the program, man. I love this stuff. It's been a fun show tonight, sort of getting multiple perspectives from many sides here. And again, you know, I'm not sure completely, you know, where you stand, because on one hand, you did say, Matt, that you don't have a problem with people kneeling for the anthem. But on the other hand, you did say that it was disrespectful. And on one hand, you said that it hurt you to watch the Patriots take a knee. And on the other hand, you said that, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. So I have a hard time with that because for me anyways, I don't want to see the Patriots take a knee. I don't. I just don't. I just want to watch them play football. I don't want to see, you know, the day where the Celtics go out there and they make some sort of political stand. Yeah, I don't want to see it. Because when I get the opportunity to sit down and watch a Celtics game wire to wire, which is usually DVR'd and usually on my phone and usually in the middle of the night, but when I get that opportunity, it's somewhere in between leaving here and either taking my dad to radiation or chemo or going to the office the next day. So I get a couple lousy hours, and I want to enjoy those hours for what they are. I don't want to, you know, have politics poison my sporting hours. If I did, if that was what I wanted to do to decompress, I'd just throw on CNN and I'd throw on Fox News and I'd go back and forth between the two and I'd get my jollies off that way. But I choose a different avenue. I choose a different outlet. And now my outlet has been poisoned by the political discourse in this country. And I feel like there's got to be a better way of handling it than the way that we are continuing to handle it, because nobody's actually addressing it. Right? We're continuing to go down this road. And instead of it getting better, it's getting worse. Instead of the discussion actually being meaningful and leading to something impactful, it makes a difference in our country. It's not. It's continuing to poison the well. It's continuing to widen the divide. And it's continuing to alienate one side of a fan base every time this discussion comes up. So now it's the Red Sox turn. And the Red Sox ownership, Red Sox management, has decided to accept the invitation of the White House. And as you read on WEI.com, John Tomasi strongly disagrees with that. And love him or hate him, there's a huge percentage of Red Sox fans that agree with John Tomasi's take. So here we are, 1 month removed from winning the World Series and 2 months removed from pitchers and catchers reporting for next year's defense of that World Series championship. And instead of talking about the upcoming decisions that need to be made for next season, or instead of continuing to celebrate what happened last season, we're sitting here talking about Trump and politics and disrespect and the two intersecting one another with sports and politics once again. It's poisoned the sporting well. So to me, the only solution that's left is to remove it completely. Just get rid of the anthem, get rid of the White House invitations, and move on. Sports is in one corner, politics is in the other. They don't play nicely together, because no matter what decisions are made, no matter what we do, 50% of your fan base is going to leave pissed off. It is Sports Radio WEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. It is late night right here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. Number to join me here, 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And I love these full four-hour programs. I really do, because, you know, sometimes when they come in here after Monday night football, Thursday night football, Sunday night football, we don't get on the air until close to midnight. And all the stuff that I had planned to go on the air with gets sort of shoved to the side. And we get stuck with an abbreviated radio program. So on nights where we get the full 4 hours, I really enjoy the ability to keep the callers on the line for the extra minute or two and really enjoy that additional back and forth, especially when we're having what I think is a pretty important discussion. You know, we're not just sitting here talking about Gordon Hayward's comeback and how well he played, although I could do a full 4 hours on Gordon Hayward's comeback. Callers or no callers, I could pontificate about Gordon Hayward easily for a four-hour show. I feel like Gordon Hayward is on the right track, by the way. And we will continue to see that track later on tonight as the Knicks make their way to the Garden for a rematch with the Celtics. And the Celtics are going to take this one personally, and I'm sure we'll get to that at some point in the 1 o'clock hour. I don't get too excited for too many Knicks-Celtics games these days, but because of the way that the Knicks came in and beat the Celtics a couple weeks back, that step-back three is still haunting me right now. The Celtics' lack of effort, enthusiasm, and aggression in that game and in that prolonged stretch of play for the Celtics is still haunting me right now. And now that the team is looking a little bit closer to the team that we expected them to be, I hope that they just throttle the Knicks tomorrow night. So we'll get into that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Until then, we'll continue with your phone calls on what has dominated the discussion here tonight, the sort of cross-section of sports and politics. And I just don't think that there's room for it in our lives anymore. It's exhausting to me. And I want to use sports for what it's meant for. I want to use sports as my way to sort of catch my breath a little bit, take a break, take a mental and physical break from the strains of life. You know, at my age, it's a tough age. I'm pushing 40, right? So my kids are at a very demanding age right now at 11 and 8. I coach my son's basketball team. My daughter travels literally the world with her baton in her hand. She went to Paris this summer. We're constantly on the road getting her here, there, and everywhere. And I try like hell to be so involved. I'll probably overcompensate because I feel guilty for traveling so much in my day job. Right? So when I'm home, I really want to be home with them. So what do? I sacrifice any sort of potential sleep that I may be able to get to spend that additional time, energy, and effort with them. So when I finally get a few minutes to sit down and watch sports and watch my beloved Celtics or watch my beloved Patriots, I want to enjoy them for what they were meant to be. And instead, lately, especially now more than ever, instead of just enjoying sports for what they were meant to be, I got to deal with the politics as like a side dish. And I don't want to do that. I just don't. You know, if I want politics, there's plenty of great radio stations I can go to for great political talk with people that know a lot more about politics and policy than I do. If I want to watch politics on TV, I'll go to Fox, I'll go to CNN, I'll go to MSNBC. Right? But I choose not to do that in my little tiny bit of free time. I choose to want to engage in sports discussion, which is why I got into this to begin with. But now, unfortunately, sports and politics intersect almost daily. And it's not a minor discussion. It's not a minor intersection. It's not. It's major heavy stuff. And I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel here. Because as we've become more and more closed-minded as a people and more immature when it comes to politics and what we believe as a people, as a society. And I don't think that's your fault or my fault. I think it's just a case of following the leader. And I'm not pinpointing the leader in the White House right now. I'm saying over the last 20 years, it's poisoned the well here. And with each different president, this country has become more and more segregated and separated. It has, to the point now where we're split down the middle and nobody is willing to listen to the other side. And it has intersected with sports one too many times. And now you've got thousands and thousands of angry Red Sox fans upset at the decision that this team has decided to accept the invitation of the White House. And I don't think that there's room for it in our lives any longer. So we can continue with those thoughts as well at 617-779-7937. Let's get back out to the phones real quick. Let's go to Barry. Barry's in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Barry, you're next up here on WEEI.
Hi, Patrick. How are you?
I am living the dream, my friend. How are you?
You really are. Hey, listen, I wanted to tell you, young man, I have been listening to the show for the last 45 minutes, and I'm 24 years Army retired. I have no idea really what we're talking about because I haven't been in the media at all today. But I do want to say that you have created a great stimulus somewhere, somehow in New England, and generating calls. It's incredible. You and your whole staff, whoever's there, has done a great job.
I appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
A great job. And listen, also, to be very brief, my dad's 87 years old, and it's like a community. It takes a community to take care of the people that we love. And I appreciate what you said about your dad. And it's most incredible. Young man, keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, listen, thank you for your service, Barry, and good luck to you and your family and your dad, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right, there he goes, Barry in Rhode Island. I like it. If somebody just wants to call in and say, hey, good job. Believe me, I get enough you suck a-holes, you know, on Twitter and on the text line. So one nice, you know, pat on the back, I don't know, makes up for 10 you're a mindless, clueless a-hole that I get on the text line. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you as we embark upon our final hour. If you have leftover thoughts on sports intersecting politics, we can certainly continue with that. I do want to get into this Nathan Evalde story as it has evolved over the course of the last 24 hours. And now rumors are there could be potentially an offer on the table for the Red Sox to extend or re-sign Nathan Evalde, 4 years at $17 million a year. My only fear with that is that, to me, the bank of the Boston Red Sox cannot possibly be in very good shape right now. We knew that last year they were so overextended up against their own salary cap that they weren't able to bring up Ruznay Castillo, despite the fact that he was finally playing well in Pawtucket. But the moment they were going to bring him and his guaranteed salary up from Pawtucket, they were going to cross into a luxury tax threshold that they didn't want to cross into. So if they were that up against it last year, how the hell are they going to pay Nathan Eovaldé $17 million a year times 4 years, and then 12 months from now, extend Chris Sale? The only way that this makes sense to me is if ultimately their plan is not to extend Chris Sale. Get one more year out of him and let him go, let him walk. But the fear is that the right decision? Are we comfortable letting Chris Sale walk away from the Boston Red Sox in 12 months? We can talk about that. And finally, Jaylen Brown, he's going to return to the Celtics later on tonight as the Knicks make their way to the Garden. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And I never thought I would say that because I love Jaylen Brown's game. I think Jaylen has the potential to be a very dynamic two-way player, sort of maybe a lesser version of Kawhi Leonard. I do. But the Celtics with Jaylen Brown on the floor this year have not looked good. They have not looked like themselves. Jaylen Brown has not looked good. He has not looked like himself. He has looked lost out there. The addition of Gordon Hayward and the continued progression of a guy like Jason Tatum has really hurt. And the emergence, by the way, of Marcus Morris has hurt a guy like Jaylen Brown more than just about anybody else on that team. Jaylen's coming back from the back injury. He's due to play tonight against the Knicks. Are the Celtics doing the right thing by keeping him on the bench, seemingly, and continuing to start Marcus Smart? I think they are, but I know a bunch of Jaylen Brown fans that aren't happy about it. So we'll talk about that and continue with your politics discussion as well and the cross-section of sports and politics. And is there a way to remove the politics from the sports? We'll talk about all three and more with you when we come back. Sports Radio, WEI.